Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As mentioned earlier, we'll be following from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. I can't do it. It doesn't work. I can't get it right. Such are the complaints of the little child having trouble mastering holding the bunny ears and trying to remember which one goes through the hole, the front one or the back one, as they try to learn to tie their shoes. They try for a little while and then quit and want someone else to do it for them. With a great deal of pity, someone might bend down and tie it for them. But what do they learn by someone else doing the work? Work that they need to learn unless they wish to wear slip-ons their entire life or accustom themselves to the style of Velcro. To some degree, we never really outgrow the temptation to quit when things are not going right. There are any number of skills we just want someone else to handle. We might even wish to maybe barter tying shoelaces with the little ones if they agree to program our remotes or our cell phones or our laptops. Hands-on experience is one of the best of teachers. And when our master teacher, Jesus, wanted to teach his followers, his disciples, how to truly be his disciples and apostles, he used the experience training method to get his points across. That's why today, as we consider Jesus' miracle of feeding the 5,000, we see him teaching his disciples what to do. As he told them, you give them something to eat. And he showed them that their crisis was not beyond their ability as long as they remembered the source of their abilities. Now, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, well, many of us have probably studied that from little on. It's one of the early Sunday school stories. It's the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels, with each of the Gospel writers adding smaller insights from their perspective as the Lord inspired them to record the incident. The context of the miracle is quite sad, however. The news of the death of John the Baptist had just reached Jesus and his disciples, and Jesus chose to get away from the crowds for a while. Some assume that he went into the wilderness also to protect his life. King Herod, who had John the Baptist put to death, heard of Jesus and believed to some degree that Jesus was the Baptist reincarnated, in which case that would make Jesus Herod's enemy. Jesus also had quite the large following, which also would make Herod take notice. Well, nonetheless, wearied from his work and contemplating the next phase of his ministry away from Galilee, and possibly taking the time to mourn the death of John, Jesus tried to get away. He got into a boat with his disciples, went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, to the north side. Within no time at all, however, people saw him leaving in the boat. And rather than getting in other boats, they followed him on the shoreline. Depending on where everyone started and where Jesus landed, it could have been up to 2 miles. But many were on the other shoreline when Jesus arrived. The writers tell us a crowd was there to meet him. And as he got out of his boat, he saw the crowd, and we're told he had pity on them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And as tired as he probably was, he taught them, and he healed them. He had compassion on them. Basically, we might say this was a normal day for Jesus, except the day was quickly drawing to a close. The people had been with him a long time, and, hey, there were no Chick-fil-A's, no Golden Arches, no Jimmy John's available. They had gone out into the wilderness, which means not necessarily a desert, but sparsely inhabited, seldom cultivated, and probably no major villages available. And Jesus then began his hands-on training for his disciples. Seeing the crowds coming, Jesus asked Philip, and this is recorded in John, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" John indicates that Jesus already had a plan, was only testing Philip. Philip looks, considers the size of the crowd, where they were in Galilee, what their resources were. He considered all that, but he didn't consider who was with him. So he came to the conclusion that, 8 months' wages is not going to be enough to buy everyone even a bite. Now what? Probably having discussed it with the others, they conclude that they should not be compassionate to the people, that they were like sheep without a shepherd, yes, but they decided they just needed to get rid of the problem. Send them away, Lord. That was their answer. Even though they acknowledged it was late, the marketplaces, if there were any at all, were probably closed, or that these people who had been with Jesus probably close to all day and had walked the edge of the lake to come up to Jesus, as far as they were concerned, there was nothing they could do. Didn't matter which rabbit ear was going to be pulled through the hole this time, right? Problems weren't going to be gone, weren't going to be tied up by them. And so, as is the case very often, they decided to get rid of the problem. Did you ever feel that way? Ever been there when you want to just throw up your hands and quit because you don't have the answers or can't think of a solution? Absolutely, we have. Might I ask, where do you turn in such a situation? Do you seek the help of the professionals? Go and buy some CBDs, alcohol, pills, or escape into your cave or your cabin, hobbies, or physical activity? Remember what I said early on? You have the ability to conquer your fears and frustrations, disappointments, and losses. You have the ability, if you remember your source of power and strength. Think for a moment, as the disciples considered their dilemma, who was standing with them? Do you think that the one who created the heavens and the earth couldn't come up with some food for the stadium crowd? Do you think that the one who could provide water from a rock in the wilderness and manna every morning for 40 years for his chosen people Israel, you don't think he could meet the needs of these coming to Jesus? You better believe he could. And he does. He didn't let the disciples bail on their responsibility. He said, you give them something to eat. He somewhat told them to go think the situation over again. And Andrew came up and introduced Jesus to a young boy who had 5 small, now I emphasize small, barley loaves and 2 small, again, emphasis on small, fish. We don't know, was this the boy's lunch that his mother had him pack? Or maybe he was a young entrepreneur acting as a vendor to the people at this time. But as far as they were concerned, that's all we have, Lord. And looking at it, it's not enough. Not enough was their solution. But note what Jesus did. First he said, bring them to me. Then he had all the people sit down in groups of 50 and 100. We're told that there was plenty of grass there, and this was a time for the people to rest. One author tried to describe the setting as the green pastures of Psalm 23. And another as a tapestry of color, as all these people from all the various towns, from all the possible nations, because Passover was near, and people from outside of Israel were visiting, that they might say, well, look at this quilt on the pasture. But when everyone was seated, Jesus took the bread and fish, looked up to heaven, and gave thanks. As in our own table prayers, we pray that the food is nourishing, to show gratitude to God, and to remember our Creator. Jesus prayed and then distributed the food, not himself, but to his disciples. They, in turn, delivered the food to the people. From a little boy's lunch, or his inventory for sales, Jesus fed the 5,000. Actually, probably many more than that, since that only counted the men present, and not the women and children who were also following Jesus. All along, the disciples had this resource beside them, but they looked to themselves and their own wisdom to solve their predicament and problems. Might I ask, do you see any connection to your life and your situations? Those that wanted to tell Jesus what to do ended up being the waiters at Jesus or the Lord's pasture banquet. And when all were filled, that's the way God provides, you know, to the full, the disciples became the busboys for the leftovers. Not the crumbs necessarily, but the pieces that fell after someone had bitten into a piece of bread. But these were pieces of food that were shared, were like the main course and the main dish by the disciples, and they hadn't been eaten. 12 baskets were filled. Can't say for sure how large the baskets were, but remember what the meal started with. 5 small loaves and 2 small fish. Each of the disciples had a basket full, maybe to remind them to look beyond themselves and to the Lord when dilemmas come their way. Reminder still that as they watched their Lord, they saw their Savior, the one filled with compassion, to meet the needs of the crowds and their own needs. To remember that Christ came for all our needs to bring us the bread of life. Miracles are regularly recorded in Scripture, not to get us considered Jesus as some great miracle worker, but to understand and see him as the Lord Almighty, the one who can not only feed the thousands, but take away our dilemmas, the dilemmas of sin, temptation, weakness, pride, self-reliance, and arrogance. And as we follow our Savior, we take home not so much a basket of leftovers, but for our life, a backpack of blessings. Blessings for those for which the Lord would have us have the same compassion as he had and has for those and for others. One author put it this way: the disciples had put themselves as Jesus' board of directors, telling Jesus, send the people home. Jesus used them as his waiters because the multitude needed to be fed. What the church needs is waiters and waitresses to give out not just physical bread, but the bread of life. And the bread is the Word of God. That's our business. All believers should be waiters passing it out. Now, there will still be times when we want to cry out, I can't, I quit. But knowing the presence and power of Jesus is with us, when Jesus says to us, you give them something to eat, simply reply, thank you, I will, to your glory and praise, O Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God that goes beyond all understanding keep your hearts and minds focused on serving the Lord and in compassion serving one another till we stand with Jesus in glory everlasting. Amen.